Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Monday. Today, we got to talk some USC football. They are 3-0 after beating Texas in double overtime, 27-54. Today, we're going to talk to the coach, Coach Harvey Hyde, about what he saw out there. You guys have sent in a lot of questions. We'll try to get to them all. Podcast at uscfootball.com. That is our email address if you want to email us. Or you can call us at 424-254-9141. That's 424-254-9141. That's our voicemail number and our text number. Any questions you send in, we're getting so many of them now. Please keep them concise. Keep the voicemails short. We're not going to play them if they're over a minute long. Keep the questions to one topic. If you want to talk about every aspect of the game, we can't do that with every question. So have a take, question, whatever, one specific thing, and we'll do our best to answer those. If you want to subscribe, we'd love that on iTunes, itunes.com/peristylepodcast. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio and Audio Boom and all different places across the internet where you can get podcasts. You can find the Peristyle Podcast. All right. And so we're going to have in the first segment, Coach Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde. Later on the show, we're going to talk some about the betting lines with Joe Duffy from Offshore Insiders. So he's been great with us the last couple of weeks talking about some of the Vegas lines and what they mean for USC and all that. So we're going to get to all of that today. And let's bring in the coach. What is up, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. Another Monday. That means another week of preparation and great football. And we've got a lot of questions, and we want to thank all of our listeners for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks everyone for coming. Man, the show has been blowing up. So many people, we get so many downloads. It's been awesome. We appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to the show, and we want to thank our sponsor, Southern California Tickets, for Coach Harvey Hyde segment. As always, sctickets.com is the website, or you can call them at 1-800-888-7287. Three home games in a row for USC, so you could get your tickets there. A couple road games coming up, and then USC comes back home. So if you need tickets for anything, or if you want to go, hey, I think Hamilton's in town, if you want to go see that in L.A., other stuff, you know, other concerts, theaters, things like that, you can go to sctickets.com. Coach, man, we got a ton of questions. Like I said, if you're going to send them in, please don't give us a whole recap of the game. Please, you know, give us a specific thing you want Coach or me or whoever to talk about, and we will do our best to do that. But we get a lot of these coaches, they're just like kind of talking about everything. It makes it really hard. But the good thing I like, Coach, well, we get international questions. And our first one, I'm going to read, it's from Japan. So that's pretty cool. But these are all, I'm going to try to group some of these together and kind of give you a chance to, you know, talk about everything. But a lot of questions about play calling and the game plan. So I'm going to read you, I think there's like three of them in a row. So excuse me for the long read, but I want to kind of group them together, and then we'll get your thoughts on all of these topics, Coach. First up, Konnichiwa from longtime listener in Japan. I know you often talk about the importance of an offense having an identity. In a post-game interview with tight end Tyler Petit, he said that USC's identity is to run the ball. He said on film, Texas defenders sometimes got out of their lane, so by returning to the run, the Trojans were hoping to spring one. Yet, by halfway into the third quarter, it seemed clear the runs up the gut weren't working. So I wonder, can being committed to an offensive identity sometimes limit a team's ability to improvise during a game and make the best play calls? I thought that was a great point. Thanks and fight on, Brian from Japan. Tarek says, since USC's run out of the shotgun, why didn't USC run some Sam Darnold a few times to keep the defense honest? So he wants to mix it up with the quarterback. And then Eric of Troy texted in and said, hey, Ryan, I have a question for Coach Hyde. Am I the one who thought the game plan and play calling against Texas was just awful? Why did we insist on running directly into the teeth of the Texas defense between the tackles with no less than 7 men in the box each time? It was clear to me that we had more speed and could beat them on the edge, but with either too arrogant or too blinded by the Stanford game to accept the fact that we were not just moving those corn-fed Texas hogs off the line of scrimmage. Fourth and goal from the 1 was just screaming for play-action pass or a quarterback run around the end. So my question is, Would you game plan and play call? Would your game plan and play calling be different, or is it just me that thinks T. Martin was just a bit too full of Stanford? Love the show and look forward to your educational response, Sir Eric of Troy. Okay, so apologize, Coach, all that, but kind of in the same vein, get your thoughts on the play calling and game plan.
Yes, I think they all are all related to questions. First of all, yes, 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 on all of them. First of all, let me say that they were not stretching the defense with the run. They were stretching the defense with the quick screen, bubble screens, all the screens they were running to the right and the left with the backs and receivers and so on. And you've heard me say this every week, it's a one-back offense. And when you have a one-back offense, it's very difficult. Your quarterback's got to be the second running back. Now, if you're not going to allow him to be the second running back to hold the backside and so on, then you got to go to a two-back set. And I think a two-back set would really help them, especially with two great running backs, because if you cross your running backs and you're not sure who's going to get the ball, the backside has to stay there. Backside cannot pursue down the line of scrimmage. If you watch that football game, they're even slanting. The whole defensive line was slanting to the left, and because they knew also that Donald liked to be flushed out to the offensive right side to throw the ball, so they were slanting to the left. So you have to watch that type of stuff, and when you do that slanting and you have a two-back set or a quarterback keep, it's all over with. There's nobody out there. They kept a corner out there to sort of watch it, but he can't stop that. So, yes, I agree with that 100%. You've got to hold the backside run. I agree also down there on the fourth. And, you know, when you can't continue running into the defensive strength. And the defensive strength of Texas, you won't find a defensive line like that again the rest of the season. I tell you, this kid, Pope, number 95, and Lick Jackson, number 46, the linebacker, and those are two great players. You're going to see them playing in the NFL. And you kept running into the strength of that. You've got to keep them guessing, and you got to keep them off balance by being able to go either way. And the fourth down play, we had four down plays. We didn't make it fourth down plays, especially the one that they called a timeout, and they came back in and ran up the middle of the field. They were unsuccessful the first two or three times, and they did it again on the fourth play. They were screaming for a bootleg where you give Darnold an option. You put the back in the flat. From a two-back set, you bring the tight end across, and he comes out on the bootleg. You run guy first guy in the middle or off tackle, and he comes back around. And if the back's open, he dumps it to him. If not, he runs it in or hits the drag guy. Can't cover it all. I said that myself, especially when they called timeout. I said, well, they're going to make it a run-pass option of some type where you get into the end zone, but obviously you weren't having any success running the middle of the line. And as you went along during the game, when you don't make those short yardage plays, all you do is encourage Texas that they can play with you. Yeah, in the first part of the game, you had four opportunities to score, and you missed the field goal at the same time, and all of a sudden Texas said, we can play with these guys. And they certainly could. Their defense is a great defense. I don't care what Maryland did against them. Let's don't look back. Let's look forward. This team has improved. This team is a very physical, great, with great athletes playing on the defensive side of the football. So, yeah, I thought that it was vanilla, the play calling. I thought that there should be more play action to get these guys into suck in so you can hit the receivers. I didn't like the routes at all. They still haven't found their third receiver, which is something that I've been crying for now for about 6 weeks. And the tight end is not really... You're not getting your productivity at all out of the tight end. Yes, you hit him on couple of quick stop routes, but you got to learn and teach him how to slide to the open area. Dante Burnett is only the really receiver that he looks for now, but he finds the open area. And I would just throw this into their crossing routes and the routes that they're running. Sometimes the receivers have no idea where the sticks are. They'll run a route at 7 yards, and it's 9 yards to go for first down, or they'll run a route at 2 yards coming across in front of the linebackers. And when linebackers are great athletes, you know, you don't even make 1 yard, and you need 5 yards to get a first down. So that's a quick summary of answering your three questions.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to Brian in Japan, Tarek, Surik of Troy. Sort of along the same lines, Coach, you can expand a little bit. Here is a voicemail question for you.
Hello, Ryan. Coach Hyde. How you both doing? Congratulations to the men of Troy. What a satisfying win. I thought all along it would be a tough battle because Texas is a much better football team than their record indicates. And quite naturally, everybody wants to beat USC. I thought Coach T didn't do one of his better coaching jobs last night. He kept trying to force the issue as opposed to just taking what the defense was giving you. And with our defensive coordinator, I still say he's got to go more aggressive on third and long situations instead of always going soft on third and long. And most of the time, teams are converting on us. But other than that, I thought the kids played a terrific game. Our head coach, man, what a cool guy under pressure. And I can't say enough about our quarterback. I don't blame him for those interceptions. And what I do admire about him, he doesn't let it bother him. He just continues to stay the course. And I'd like to congratulate the men of Troy and also him. Thank you very much.
All right, to answer your question, first of all, the drops certainly don't help. They had four or five drops during the game. It's depressing when you're a quarterback and you throw the ball to your receivers and they drop passes. And these are not difficult catches. One led to a defensive touchdown. Here you just had a tremendous defensive stand. I would call it almost a series of the game. A sack by Port Augustine, a sack by Port Augustine, another sack, I think it was by Rector. Fourth and 28. You hold them, and then again you come back out and throw an interception, and they go in 7-7 at half. Not to say you went down the field and scored a touchdown, and I think that was a great with Jones in the open field, but, you know, you're still up by 7 points. You would have been up by 7 points with the momentum on your side as far as you went. You had your momentum with that score, but, I mean, as far as dominating, only giving up 90 yards in the first half and defense not allowing any type of scores. On as far as the third down calls and plays and so on and going after the quarterback more, if you saw they were doing the things that everybody's going to be doing more and more and more, is attacking the corners. They put big receivers on the corners. We saw Stanford do it at the end of the game. They should have done it earlier. And you're going to see other teams doing this, 6'5 receivers, 6'4 receivers, going against the corners as far as throwing routes up high. Jack Jones made one tremendous interception, taking the ball away from the defensive or the offensive receiver, but it was an offensive reception. So sometimes you're going to have to apply a little bit more pressure in order to assist your defensive coordinators. Or you can't play man; you got to get a man, play more zone, or whatever you're going to do, because you've got to help your corners. But your corners right now can't handle the load, and if you watch them, they almost have holding on every play. Eamon Marshall. So they're very fortunate there weren't more pass interferences called. Let me just put it to you that way. So I think that answers your question. I think that you've got to put applied pressure if they're going to throw to the big receivers, and you've got to play and maybe cover their tight ends a little bit more if they're not going to utilize their tight ends at all, and play a little linebacker coverage with that. But you know, we'll see what happens. I know if I was playing USC, I would do more double coverage with receivers and the slots and leave the tight end to a linebacker.
You know, you mentioned Eamon Marshall there, Coach. We have a voicemail question about that, so we'll jump right in there.
Hey, this is Don from the East Coast. Fight on. Calling this message for Coach and for you, Ryan. Is it me, or does it seem like Eamon Marshall has a penalty every game? I don't know if you guys realize, but he reminds me a lot of when Chris Hawkins was playing cornerback for the Trojans, and they had to switch him to safety because he was getting penalties every single game. He could not cover anybody. And I think Marshall's getting a pass because he was a five-star recruit coming out. But he has struggled since his freshman year on one-on-one coverages. Like, it's just so frustrating as a Trojan fan. So, you know, hope you guys get back to me and let me know. Fight on from the East Coast. I hope we pull up this game. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, yeah, we've been saying that all along. I think I said it last year when I thought he should be an inside guy. He just doesn't feel comfortable out there on the bubble. He's a more physical type of guy, more of a hitter type of guy, good nickelback type of guy. He, out there when you're all by yourself playing, man, you know, you got to feel real confidence. And I think it's a little bit, you know, he's lost confidence out there. He's all over the receivers, touching them every down. And I don't know if it's just a lack of confidence or being too stiff or getting your hips around, but he fears a deep pass on him. And, you know, sometimes he lets the receiver run up on him and then he turns and then tries to catch him and is in really poor position as far as looking back and making the play. He's trying to hold him. So, yeah, he lacks the confidence of playing out there. I don't know. You know, they continually play him there, and I think he's a great kid. Nothing against him. Is his position a corner in the NFL? Absolutely not. I think they should put him maybe where they can utilize him more and find a corner. You know, if I'm playing USC, I'm putting my speed guy on him, okay? Because it scares him to death, and I'm putting my big receiver, a more route guy, on Jones because of his size. So I'm not trying to give game plans to our opponent, but what I'm trying to do is tell you what I think the weaknesses are. And, you know, you ask me these questions. And when you ask me these questions, I'm not trying to be negative. First of all, I thought it was a great win. Let me just tell you, great football game to watch. But when you go in on Sunday, you say, how did they hurt us? Why are they hurting us? What are we doing wrong? And how we can get better? And these are the ways we're trying to answer these questions.
We got one from China. So we had Japan, now we have China. Let's see, we got, thank God, we are 3-0 for the first time after I immigrated to the U.S. and watched USC football. I agree with you, Ryan, that once we got 3-0, life will be much easier. But my question is, what happened to our offensive line? Is the Texas front seven still too good? It looked like every time we play against good teams from the East, like Bama, Penn State, Texas, our running game was not functioning well. Thanks and fight on. Cheers from Yi.
Well, you know, you've got to help your offensive line, too. First of all, you're going against a very physical defensive line. Like I said earlier, that's the best defense front that you're going to face. I'll tell you, I was really impressed by them. They take no prisoners. You've got to get after them. When you lost Juma, that really did hurt. I think Voorhees really did struggle during the game as far as, you know, coming in and playing against a great front like they did. Struggle pass blocking wise and other areas, which, you know, he's a true freshman. So he's going to have a tough time. I'm not sure if Clayton Johnson would do a better job there. Not, I'm not trying to pick the personnel, but I'm just saying when you go against great players like that, that's a tough matchup. When you find that type of front, you got to help them. I mean, they were slanting to the play. You're running to their strength. You weren't stretching the defense. You didn't hold the backside. You've got to do some things to assist your offensive lineman at the same time of being able to exploit the defense and assist with your running back. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. The only way they tried to stretch the defense, they ran one little quick turnaround type of bootleg where they hit Mitchell for about a 30-yard gain. I didn't think they ran any two-back offense whatsoever. I haven't charted the game that way, so I don't know. But you've got to hold the backside. You didn't really run one bootleg at all to the outside. So, you know, it's tough to run against guys inside when that's the only place where you're running. So, you know, especially when you get in the run against studs. So, you know, that was a battle on the line, and you've got to assist those guys, you know. Keeping them off balance, if nothing else.
Yeah, it was tough. We talked to I talked to Nico Fala, coach, about it a little bit, and he said that they did stuff on film they hadn't seen. There was a lot of movement, slant stuff that they hadn't seen before, and it really confused the offensive line. But it kind of goes in the same grain. I agree with the callers and the people that were writing in. I mean, if something's not working, do you want to keep doing it? Like, you probably do something else. It was not working there. The offensive line seemed confused. It was like Texas was daring USC to throw, and USC really wasn't doing it. They kept trying to do the same thing, and, you know, it just wasn't working.
No, you're exactly right. You can't, you know, if I do this and you stop me, I'm going to do that. You got to balance it out. You can't just continually do the same thing and same thing and same thing, but you lose your confidence too of your offensive team. So you've got, it's like playing chess or doing anything else. You can't stop everything on the field. So if you're stopping this and for some reason then, and you're loading up on me or doing certain things, then I've got to be able to counteract that. And USC didn't do that.
Let's do another voicemail for you, Coach. A lot of people calling in. Here you go.
Hello, Ryan. Coach Ryan. Don Archie from Upland, California. USC needed to expense a game like this for many reasons. It taught them how to stay composed in the midst of adversity, which I actually thought they did a good job of all game long. Championship teams have this quality. This type of game, I believe, will serve them well as the season progresses. Even though Sam Donaldson didn't have a great game statistically, he did what he needed to do down the stretch of the game, and that was to put his team in a position to win the game. Still, a major concern of mine is the play of the USC's corners. Not acceptable. Also, I'd like to talk about the fourth down play on the goal line where Ronald Johnson failed to get in the end zone. Wrong play. Texas defensive ends were closing down, and the play to a run would have been to fake to Ronald Johnson and have Sam roll out. He could have walked in the end zone. Oh, yeah. That takes me back to my playing days. Fight on, USC.
Well, Donald, it's good to hear from you again. And, you know, we sort of covered that earlier, and we more or less, I agreed with you on that. First of all, I want to commend the USC team for the effort they gave in that football game. Ryan, you follow me on my tweets, and if all of you are out there that want to follow me, after every quarter, I tweet out my thoughts on what they need to do. When the fourth quarter started, one of my comments were, it's now down to who wants it the most. Everybody's beat up. Everybody's tired. Now is when it makes a difference in the game on who's going to be the playmaker to make it happen. And then I go through the details of what who needs to do, and a lot of it we're talking about today, but I sort of suggested it during the tweets. But again, yeah, the corner play we discussed already, Donald. And we talked about that. They need help out there. They've got to change. They can't play man the way they're doing. If they're going to play man like that, then they got to put more pressure and get to them. It certainly was obvious when they lost Green and lost Port Augustine, how the defense really dropped back. I'm not quite sure if the right people are playing some of the positions. You saw Levi Jones. I've been screaming about Levi Jones since I saw that they signed him. The way he blitzed through there and chased down the quarterback, a hurry to throw, I think he'd be great on the edge. I just think he'd be so awesome on the edge. He came in when Cameron Smith dislocated his finger. He came in and blew through there on a stunt. He can run. I think you got to get off the edge. They lost contain the entire game towards the end, especially, and that's where the quarterback was getting extra time to throw the football. They kept going inside. You can't go inside on your rush when you're the end man of the line of scrimmage, but on any contain, they just roll out, and it gives them more time to throw the football. They've got to get that worked out. I thought Port Augustine and Wauso were doing a good job on that earlier in the game, but then it dropped really off. So I agree with you. We talked about the play in the end zone down there. You know, you got to stretch the defense even on the goal line. Got to keep them guessing. And I said bootleg with an option. If he'd kept the ball, he'd have walked in there too.
We had some people that want to express their optimism. The G said, hey, the team is 3-0. 1-0 each week is the goal. Mission accomplished. So that's a point. And then we had Daniel from L.A. call in. It was like a two-minute voicemail. Sorry, buddy. I can't play that whole thing for you. Way too long. But he said he called it a weightlifting game. And he said you won't see a team like Texas again on the schedule. Overall, he was happy with the USC's win. It's not the NFL. Mistakes happen. And, you know, these are 19-year-old kids. But those two guys, the G and Daniel, were kind of more optimistic, like saying, hey, USC still won. Move on and keep going.
No, I agree with you. I just mentioned it a moment ago. They played hard the entire game. They found a way to win. You have a freshman kicker that comes in and makes two key kicks that I closed my eyes on. And I thought it was tremendous, a tremendous win the way they came back and won, especially with that last, the two drives that they did offensively. Tremendous drives, tremendous catches, throws, the whole thing. to make that all happen, but they can still get better. There's a lot of things you watch if you have the knowledge of football of how you can utilize your personnel more, and I'm sure USC is going to do this. In the heat of the moment, sometimes you can't do a lot of coaching on the field during that time, but you got to do a lot of coaching now off the tapes to explain that. I still don't think they get the use out of the tight end, and we just said a minute ago, we've got to get the third receiver in there. They've got to find out who that's going to be. And they continually, you know, now I'm not going to give any more scouting things out, but they will get better, and they're going to have to get better. And I agree with you, Texas is a tremendous football team, very physical, and that's why you have the injuries you have. They've had two very physical football games back-to-back. You saw what happened to Stanford. Stanford had a very physical loss to USC the week before. They went down to San Diego State. I think San Diego State is the same type of team as Stanford, but they beat Stanford. And if you watch that football game, they're just physical. I think Stanford was just tired. You call it tired now. Coming off of a game like Stanford, you can't help but be tired. And as you know, Houston didn't play, and other players didn't play. And, you know, Porter played with two screws in his toe and all these different things. And when you have another game with Texas, you got more guys hurt. But that's what it's all about. It's a physical football game. If you come down and you still only got 11 guys, you got to play the game and someone's got to step up. We talk about that all the time. So you got to make sure you have key players in the key positions. And as a player, you've got to learn off of what other people are doing. So when you go in, you don't make the same damn mistakes. So that's where we are. Every week, you got to get better.
Earl in West L.A. had a few points about dropping passes and not, you know, running routes that were deep enough for a third down. So Coach already talked about that. Thanks for that one, Earl. Clayne in Seattle has an interesting one. The Texas game wasn't pretty, but a win is a win. My question, while I love Ajayi on defense, he's talking about Ajayi Harris, when do we consider revamping our punt and kickoff and kick return options? Clayne in Seattle.
Well, I have to agree with that. I said, I don't really think we're getting the necessary coverage. We're not getting coverage, good coverage at all. When you look at the statistics, 29 yards, 30 yards, things like that, you can't have that type of stuff, coverage, or kickoff returns or punt returns. You got to have better coverage on the kickoff and punt returns. It's just something that you got to do. You got to work on it. And I don't think any team spends more time in the country than USC does on the special teams. It certainly did win the football game, though, when you talk about the field goals. Now, earlier in the game, when he missed that, I said, oh, no. Because he just shanked that one. But he came back under pressure, and he had done it before at Modern Day High School, so I had the confidence he could do it again, and he did. And that won the football game. And I think Rector's stripping of the football might have been the play of the game also. You look at other big plays, but you forget plays that sort of get lost, that no one talks about. They talk about it, but not to the limit that it should be talked about, or the heights. I mean, stripping that football down there and be alert enough to look at it, not just stand there, but reach down and strip that football. That's instinct and thinking. And then Harris, I think, fell on the football, and they were able to win the football game. I think that's what's huge, that type of play, too. And people sometimes forget that, and they forget the tip football, and it counts against the defense when the team runs back an interception like that. I mean, when you look in the first half, the defense just played their you-know-what off and gave up only 90 yards and would have had a shutout in the first half except for that play.
Sticking on the defense, Coach, Dennis in Lancaster, I know Clancy Pendergast does not like to rotate players, but after all the injuries we had on defense, will he change his stubborn ways? Our backups did not look comfortable at all. Love the show and fight on.
Well, I didn't think they played up to their ability. I'm not going to just talk about certain players, but some players didn't give me the effort or give USC the effort I thought they could give. Didn't look like they were as quick as what I thought. They played as hard as they could after having a lot of time to rest. I didn't see the performance in that fourth quarter, third quarter that I expected from some of the players, and I think maybe there are better players that aren't playing. At least I hope in sometimes, as far as the efforts that we saw. We had a freshman tackle, too, that didn't play, number 51. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to embarrass myself or him. But, yes, it did not play. They did not play up to the ability. They lost contain. And you have to put a rush on them when they're mismatching your corners, as they did. And you got to get after them. And they did not get after them to that extent. So I would evaluate the film, and I'd say, you know, we got to have quicker guys. Was they weren't very quick on the defensive side of the football towards the end of the game, and those guys hadn't played in the entire game. So without mentioning names, I think you got to look at it and see just what we need to do. I should not keep saying we. I should be just saying what USC needs to do, but I can't help but do that.
No problem, Coach. We got a couple questions on the linemen. Hey, Coach. Coach Harvey Hyde said that USC linemen had to get better at finishing the block. I agree. What things could the coaches do to get the line blocking better? That's from Art in the Bay Area. And then Big Nick in Cypress was happy they won. Roller coaster winner, but he wants to know why USC had such a hard time running the ball versus Texas after beating up Stanford.
Well, I think because they came into the game wanting to stop the run. They came in and said, we got to stop the running backs. And they spent a lot of time in loading the box and being physical and challenging their defensive linemen, who I am telling you, that's the best front you're going to face the entire year. Physical, tough guys, really good, and not intimidated, and accepted the challenge and knew they had nothing to lose but come in and play great football. I said, I think on my post-game show, I said it was a shame one team had to lose because they both played so hard. They really did play hard, both teams. I would have hated to ride back on the plane to Texas with the Texas team because I wouldn't have known what to tell them. So they came into play, and the only way that you can help your offensive line, and not that your offensive line didn't try, is you got to run more diversity and be able to do different things to hold them so they can't do what they did. They, you know, when you hand off to one back and you're not going to give it to the quarterback, everybody knows where the football is going to be. So you've got to be able to have jet sweep come back. You've got to have the quarterback hold the ball. It's a one-back offense. So your quarterback's got to either keep the ball or you got to have somebody else getting outside. I've been suggesting a two-back offense so that you hold the backside, and that way you can still get your play-action pass. You can still put your backs into the flat to make up for or in a circle route or different areas for your tight end or the receiver you're losing. So you've got to do something to maintain the stretching of the defense, because the only way they stretch the defense, and they did it successfully, was throw the quick screen out at the outside. They got a lot of yards. It really does depend a lot on the blocking of the receiver guy that's out there, as far as the guy that has to block the corner that's coming up to force that play. So, you know, Dante Burnett got blown up a couple of times. But he's not the biggest guy in trying to block a physical corner or safety coming up to stop that play. So you've got to have other ways to be able to do that with pass run option, jet, two-back sweep, or two-back type of offenses, two-back sweeps, different things just off the two-back sweep, bootleg, different things to keep the backside honest so they can't just all pursue to the play.
Let's see. We'll do one last one for you, Coach. T-Dog, he said, thanks for taking my questions. We all love you and thank you for the Trojan service you provide us. You're greatly appreciated. I really enjoy your perspective, coaching insights, Coach, and I really think you guys are all-star cast to provide candid and objective evaluations of our beloved Trojan football program. So thank you for that. He wants to know, what's going on with Jack Jones? He seems to fall slip and or opposing quarterbacks seem to pick on him often, specifically with slipping. This seems to be a problem during the first three games with our DBs. Can you provide us some insight now how Jack Jones is doing this season and how overall the defensive backs are doing as a group?
Well, you know, it's easier to evaluate a defensive back because he's out there all by himself, so we all see the mistakes a defensive back does. So you got to realize there's other guys making defensive mistakes, but they're not as visible. Because normally when a defensive back makes a mistake, wow, it's a first down or a home run or a touchdown or something. So So, you know, you've got to remember it's a very difficult type of position to play, but not only are you covering as far as their best receivers or fastest guys on the team, your support, you've got a year expected to come up and support on the run. So it's a very difficult position to play, and you've got to be sort of a cocky type of player that plays out there that accepts this challenge. Now, I'm not saying Jack Jones isn't that type of person. He predicted he's going to win the Heisman Trophy as a freshman last year. So he's got the attitude. It's just, you've got to play that. It takes a lot of technique and a lot of confidence. You learn by getting beat. That's the way you learn. But, again, it's the way you attacked him, too. You know, they're attacking him by size. And that's a tough thing to do because if you're 5'10", 5'11", and I've never stood next to Jack Jones, but I don't know how tall he is, but I'm guessing I'm about right, and you're 6'4", 6'5", that's like a guard guarding a center in basketball. It's a difficult thing to do. And yet you can't touch him, you can't wrap around him, you can't do a lot of things, or it's pass interference. And then again, on the other side, you've got Marshall, who probably runs legit 4.65. And you know, I might criticize people, say I'm crazy, but I'm saying that's what it appears. And you've got guys over there where you're going to put your speed guy. So, you know, you lose confidence. You say, I know I'm not fast as that guy. So I got to do something to slow him down. So I'm going to hold him or he's going to run away from me. So it's a very difficult type of position to play because everybody can evaluate me or them because they're out there where you can see them. Inside, a lot of times, you can't evaluate all the players and some of the key mistakes they're making.
Hey, Coach, I know we were trying to rush through this because we had some limited time today, but before we let you go, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the game, something that maybe the questions weren't covering?
Well, I just think that, you know, I've been saying this every week. You got to find out who your third receiver is. Right now, I'd vote for Tyler Vaughn. Not that I've seen him play a lot or coached him, but he's a bigger type of receiver, and I think he's got good hands, and I think he'll get better every week if you play him. Nothing against anybody else who's made that effort, but I think he deserves the opportunity. I think you've got to improve on your tight end play. Sure, he caught a couple of passes, but I think you've got to become a more physical type of blocker, as well as a receiver and learning to keep spread the field and not be by receivers. You can have two receivers right next to each other, and you got to sit down and find the open area. It's your responsibility to find the open area. They can't cover the whole field. And I think a two-back set would really help them a lot as far as what they've done. I like play-action pass and once you get your run going, your play-action pass would be really great. Let me think here. You hit me cold with this.
Sorry, Coach.
Defensive side of the football, I think you've got to bring along your defensive front. You've got to get them ready to play this week against Cal. Cal's going to come into the game very confident. They're 3-0. They had a big win over Ole Miss. They're going to, you know, try to take advantage. So really, USC can't let up. They got to go up there ready to play. And you can't beat a team like Texas and Stanford and then lose to Cal. Now you're 1-1 in Pac-12. You got to go up there. You got better kids. You got a better program, and you got to beat Cal. I'm not talking about I think they opened up a 14-point favorite or something, but they got to go up and beat Cal. That's just all you got to do. Because if you beat all these other teams that you had a battle with and you lose a game you're supposed to win, you got to be good enough to take your lunch pail, go up there, and win a football game, and come home and get ready for your Friday game against Washington State, who will probably be undefeated too. So you got to be playing two undefeated teams in a row, Cal and Washington State, and they're both going to want you to know what. So you got to be good enough to be able to do that. And I think this is what this team is challenged with.
Coach Harvey Hyde, great stuff as always. Man, a lot of questions. We do appreciate everyone writing in and calling in and texting in. A lot of you upset USC fans, I guess you could say, Coach, but there's some, you know, some happy ones too. At the end of the day, USC is 3-0, and we'll see. Obviously, if they play like that, you're going to lose some games, but you know, hopefully they can play a little bit better going forward.
Well, every day and every way, you try to get a little better and better. Myself, I need to improve on things. I think Ryan, everybody does out there, and when you got the whole world watching you, not only 84,000 plus in the Coliseum, but a national TV audience, everybody's got an opinion. We want to thank all of you for calling in and checking on us.
Yeah, thanks for that. And, Coach, thank you. And make sure you can check out the coach. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or his website, harveyhyde.com. And also thank to our sponsor, Southern California Tickets. Go to sctickets.com if you need tickets for anything. We'll be back in 1 minute talking with Joe Duffy from Offshore Insiders.
Meet us on the other side of the break for more of the Peristyle Podcast.
You know, ever since I started the Peristyle Podcast 10 years ago, people have been asking me for betting advice, and mostly if I think USC will be covering the point spread. Well, let me tell you this. Where you are betting is just as important as which side you are betting on. That's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie's been in business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing, and they have the fastest payout. Seriously, just 2 business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash, and you can win big today. I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and they definitely have. That's why I'm telling you, make your way over to mybookie.ag because they pay. And they also have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. So go now to mybookie.ag. They will match your deposit with a 100% bonus if you use the promo code PERISTYLE. So visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
We now return to the Peristyle Podcast and your host, Ryan Abraham.
All right, we're going to welcome back in Joe Duffy. He's the CEO of OffshoreInsiders.com. He's here on behalf of MyBookie.ag. Want to talk a little bit about the betting lines for USC football since we get a lot of questions about those. We thought we'd bring in an expert. Joe, thanks for coming in. How you doing, man?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Ryan. Like I think I said, you know, how can you not want to worry about the betting line? That's the most important thing to some of us, but maybe not to the USC fans. Maybe it's the second most important thing.
It does sneak into, you know, even like the broadcast, you can see like, oh, that like a, could be a touchdown at the end of a game. That wasn't important for some, you know, if the game is like out of hand, like, so it could like swing the betting line one way or other. So everyone, it's on everybody's mind, I think.
Yeah, not surprisingly, Brent Musburger, who has since retired to start his own sports handicapping or sports gambling broadcast company, he was famous for doing that. Al Michaels, of course, who doesn't do college games, but in the NFL games, he alludes to it often. And yeah, I've definitely heard some other, Chris Fowler is on top of that. So yeah, you can definitely hear the announcers allude to it, sometimes not so subtly.
So this one, we'll do a quick Texas recap, 27-24, double overtime. My initial thoughts, like when I do my Pac-12 podcast, I pick Texas with the points. Obviously, with the, you know, 3-scored game, Texas covered easily in this one.
Yeah, and we were talking last week. I said that it could be a letdown spot for USC, obviously off of the big win against Stanford. Texas is kind of one of those predictably unpredictable teams. When you have a team like Texas, you don't really know what you're going to get. They do have a new coach. I said I wasn't a fan of Todd Herman, but with the uncertainty, taking the big points there is usually a good bet, and they did cover easily. But what I was sweating out, I didn't touch the side, but I had the under at mybookie.ag, and it was under 66.5, only 34 points scored in regulation. But when you got the under and a game goes into overtime, especially more so college football than any other sport where the goofy rules, I don't really like the overtime rules, but they can pile up points in a hurry, to say the least. I started to sweat it out, especially when USC scores on the first play in overtime. I'm like, this is going to be one of the biggest heartbreakers of my life, but it did manage to stay under the total despite 2 touchdowns and a field goal in overtime. And then when USC was stopped there, I'm like, oh, geez, now neither team's going to score in the second overtime. This is going to be a heartbreaking loss I'll talk about for years, but I dodged it. It stayed under.
Yeah, because I guess if USC wouldn't have scored, then, you know, there's a lot more chance for points after that. Well, it could have been one of those backdoor, horrible, bad beats sort of things if you had the under that game. With Cal, though, coming, USC is going to go on the road for the first time. And Cal, as everyone thought, was 3-0. No, we didn't think that. So they had a big win on the road against North Carolina. They beat Ole Miss at home, which seems a little strange, but still a fairly big point spread. But what do you think about this USC and Cal game?
Yeah, USC is laying 16.5 on the road at mybookie.ag. It's another one. We talked about how last week could be a little bit of a letdown. Well, it was, but when you consider that just after playing Stanford. Then they have a double overtime game, and they hit the road for back-to-back games. Possible look ahead, they play at number 18, Washington State. So you can see how this is what we handicappers like to call a sandwich game. You know, after, like I said, a game that was a little tougher than they expected, went into overtime, and then with a big game on the road ahead of that, it may be a tough spot, but was a little surprised. Road favorites of 14 or more, and when facing an opponent ranked 18 or better in their next game, 75-43 against the spread. So that's counterintuitive to what I would have thought, where it might be a sandwich game, but historically, no. Teams that are big favorites and possibly looking ahead to a road, a very good team on the road, actually do pretty well. And in fact, well, I should say, if they're playing a ranked opponent, whether it's home or on the road, the next game, it's 75-43. But if their next game is on the road against a ranked opponent, even better percentage-wise, 25-10 at 71.4%. And even, you know, teams that are playing their first road game in game four, a pretty decent 138-118. So, you know, again, maybe a lot of people would say, look, it's their first road game, very tough spot. But historically, teams in situations that USC is in covered, which, you know, surprised me. But that's why I've got to test my theories in my database. And what I may have thought as a knee-jerk reaction is not actually the case.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for me because, you know, people were kind of down on USC after the first game. They didn't play that well. Texas really, when USC was relying on the run game against Stanford, Stanford couldn't stop it. Texas could. Texas was doing all kinds of blitzes and slants and stuff on the offensive front. I think that really put the USC offensive line in a bind. They couldn't block anybody. The running game couldn't get going. And for whatever reason, USC kind of stubbornly stayed in that mentality and kept trying to run when there was guys in the backfield at every play. I'm not seeing Cal do that kind of thing, but I mean, we'll see. Justin Wilcox, the head coach, knows USC well. Tim DeRuiter is a great defensive coordinator. He's a former head coach at Fresno State, and he was at Texas A&M before that. So I think it'll be interesting, but I'm kind of leaning towards USC covering on this one. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, like I said, that would have been my initial reaction, and then my database kind of talked me out of it. But I do like the fact that, look, as you said, Justin Wilcox, he's a new coach. So, you know, 90% of the game's half mental. Cal has new life. They're playing very well under the new coach. The underdog has actually covered all three of their games by 13 or more points. So Cal thus far has played up or down to the competition, which is good. Now, one thing that bettors might want to be aware of, Cal has done very well outscoring teams in the second half by 57-13. And that's, of course, what we call a backdoor cover. Cal has been pretty good playing in second halves of games. And that might, you know, when you're getting such big points, and especially at home, where you think, you know, you don't want to get blown out at home, there's a little bit of extra motivation. Maybe Cal could sneak in there at the back door. USC bettors could think they've got this game wrapped up, and then Cal gets that late touchdown to cover. So it's a little bit of a tough game, I think, from a handicapping standpoint. USC, we know, has dominated the series straight up. They've also covered 10 out of 11 in the series. So they've dominated both straight up and against the spread. So this is a game that most likely at offshoreinsiders.com I'm going to stay away from. If anything, once the total comes out, maybe I'll take a look at betting the total at mybookie.ag, but I'm pretty sure I'll be passing on the game as far as against the spread.
One last one, just Sam Darnold. He's got two picks in every game. So, you know, he's kind of dropped down the Heisman odds a little bit, but maybe get a quick thought on Sam Darnold's Heisman chances.
Yeah, he clearly has to improve on that touchdown interception ratio. Look, all those interceptions were at home. So we talked about USC hitting the road. Well, he's already thrown, what, six interceptions at home. Now he does hit the road, but he is still up there among the favorites. MyBookie.ag will probably be posting the lines a little bit later today, but from some of my sources, it looks like he and Lamar Jackson are tied for second. Baker Mayfield is now the odds-on favorite at plus 175, of course, for Oklahoma. Who knows? The Heisman could be decided in Bedlam a little bit later on in this year between Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph. But Sam Darnold, despite the so-so performance, is tied with Lamar Jackson at plus 550, and that's essentially a little bit more than 5-1. It means $100 better if you want Darnold to, if you bet on Darnold, you can win $550. And Lamar Jackson, off of a tough game and off of a loss, where traditionally the Heisman Trophy winners from a team that usually wins 9 or 10 games. But look, he's still got a chance to bounce back. And, you know, he's no longer the odds-on favorite, but that's not too bad. He's tied for number two behind Baker Mayfield.
And we did have, like, you know, he had the ball with 39 seconds left, down by three. And, you know, he's done some great things, but you're going to look at those numbers at the end. And if you throw two picks a game, that's going to be hard to win.
Yeah, he did win with the game on the line. And, you know, who knows, maybe even the season on the line. I think the truth is, at the end of the year, the people who vote for the Heisman, they don't really break it down game by game as much as we may think. And, you know, look, if USC, if they win the Pac-12, or at the very least, you know, they have maybe one or two losses maximum, and Darnold can really improve on that touchdown to interception ratio, he could still definitely pull it out. But to say the least, he's got to cut down on those mistakes.
All right, Joe Duffy, CEO of Offshore Insiders. He's here on behalf of mybookie.ag. Joe, thanks again for sharing your insights, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Ryan, much appreciated. We will talk next week.
All right, thanks, Joe, and thanks to everyone for tuning into the Peristyle Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287, 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.